I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Oversharers podcast. My name is Colton.
And I'm Harbour.
And today we have our favourite corporate lawyer, girly Hannah Saeed.
Oh my God.
Why did you say it like that? Can you just be natural? You don't need the notes. You're good.
Quick intro, tell us.
Where am I supposed to look?
Come on, it's so funny. That was a practice round.
She goes, my favourite corporate girl is in it.
You can look at us.
Okay.
Usually people look at us.
Okay.
No, don't look at the camera.
Okay, just don't worry about the camera. Okay.
Just talking to us.
Zen.
You're going to block all of them out.
This is so different. I'm not used to this.
Oh, no.
It's so different. I swear to God. It's not like just doing this, you know?
Oh, my God. I feel like being on TikTok is more around anxiety for me than being in this room.
Really?
Yeah. And I feel like you talk about some racy stuff, girl. How do you deal with it? Where's the confidence coming from?
I just don't care.
I love that.
That's the energy we need.
Wait, what do you mean? I thought you guys talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, we do.
No, we do.
We want to bring that, the energy that you have on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
do it.
Because they always come for us.
Honestly, just do it. I feel like whatever you say, someone's going to have something to say.
Absolutely.
They're always going to say something. So even if you cater to those people, they're always going to find you.
No, it's not.
Just say, I feel like I'm of the mentality, like, I don't care anymore.
Valid. Oh, I love that.
I'm a bit scared. I don't think I could do that. But you know what? For your age, Allahu Mubarak, that's really good.
Wait, how old do you guys think I am?
Like 25?
Oh, my God.
24?
No,
wait, how old are you?
I'm 26.
I'm still young.
From 30. I'd say 3.
No.
We are old bats.
No
offense.
That's not old, but you guys look like you're 21.
Oh, high five. Give me a high five.
Yeah. I put it down to
jeans,
yeah.
What else? Colton uses retinol, I don't.
I stopped using retinol.
Yeah.
Stopped.
Got a good skincare, maybe that's it.
Yeah, at the moment.
You guys look
fully cream.
We don't have a bullet, maybe that's the issue.
Okay.
That we look very young.
Okay.
Well, I'm joking. So, today we have Hannah. Hannah, tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh God, where do I start? I don't know.
Shall I start for you?
Yeah, go on.
Hannah, the first time I discovered Hannah on TikTok, I think you were doing the dating series.
Oh Lord, hang on.
I stuck my phone on the wall. I was doing my skincare. I was interested, I was invested.
What story?
Story that I got was a guy, you were sitting down. I remember visually, I don't remember the story. I remember you sitting down and you just came back from dinner.
That's what
I remember.
Okay. Was that a good date?
That was a good date. I'm not gonna lie, that was a good date. And then the date after, a girl found my video.
Yes, and that's
said,
when I found.
The guy that you went on the date with, I have a feeling it's the same guy I'm dating back in my country.
I remember this.
The way I saw that video, and the TikTok message was London girl XX something. So it's like a fake spammy account. Yeah. So I was like, who the hell is this woman? And it was so detailed. I was like, okay, if you're really bad, give me the information. So then I was like, what's his name? What's his number? Set the name, set the number. Couldn't revise.
Oh my God.
And then I sent it to him. And he was like, he flipped it on me.
Of course.
Gaslighting 101.
Are you gassing me up? Are you lying? You're taking the piss? Da-da-da. What is this about? Are you doing it for like a TikTok? And I was like, no, somebody sent it to me.
Oh my God.
He consistently stayed with the lie up until I was like, bye, see you later.
Yeah.
They apparently continued their relationship. And that year, after Ramadan, she contacted me and was like, I'm so sorry, but I was that girl who messaged you. I was embarrassed to message you on my personal real account. So I did it on a fake account. She ended up being a smiley girl as well. We spoke on the phone, we FaceTimed. She told me the tea, she told me everything. I was like, I knew it. My gut was right.
Oh,
I'm not crazy
God.
In my head.
And no way she FaceTimed you.
I felt like a Twilight Sister song.
Oh, can I ask you a question? How did she know who you were on the date with?
I have no idea.
How could she have gotten that from one
video? I didn't give a name. I didn't give an age. I didn't give his ethnicity. I didn't give the country. I just said, guys, I'm going on a date tonight. I'm going out to eat with somebody and they're coming from a different... They're flying in.
You know
from the flying in,
yeah, I remember
she
that.
Was suspicious.
No one works faster than a Somali girl on tilt. That is so crazy. From flying in, so she wouldn't have known where he was from.
You know, and the way I couldn't, like, the way I was processing it was, I was screaming, shouting, throwing up. I was angry.
Yeah.
You know? Were you serious about this person? No. Or was it just like,
let's meet up, let's have a conversation, let's fix what the issues were before. Kind of conversation.
Okay.
So this person was known to me, known to my family, known to everybody. Damn. And it was like a, let me redeem myself. I apologize for what's happened. He was just arguing all the time, basically. And then, so my understanding was, let's have a conversation. Okay, everything's good. Let's see how this goes.
Then but he was next, being a two-timing.
The way that I just felt so protected by God. Oh, like, in my gut, I knew something was off from the beginning.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what really makes me sad is the fact that he was known to your family.
No, but that's okay, because we tell my family everything. So if
someone, okay!
She's very open. This is
a thing.
But so, well, obviously, recently I've seen TikToks where your like mum comes to influencer events with you and stuff like that. And I love this dynamic.
Go on.
Everyone thinks my parents don't know. We're like a family where if someone's interested, they make themselves known to my family. I'm interested in your daughter. They get to know each other if we're comfortable, you know?
Do you set that kind of
I set that.
Standard?
And everyone in my household is different. My personality is more like, if I'm sure of you, you need to get to know my family. So
period.
The way my parents met was like, they met each other through family. So if my dad is pursuing my mum, he's seeing my mum, but also making himself known to her family and getting comfortable and intertwining. And of course, they're serious, so there's nothing crazy going on. So that's similar with me. So with this guy, my mum obviously was like, oh, somebody's trying to like talk to me. And I was at that stage, I was in law school, I was tired, it was COVID, no job, no nothing, stressed.
Mm.
I was just like, I don't want to talk to anyone. And my parents have always been like, what's wrong with you?
Just tell us.
Just talk to someone, you know? I was anti-relationship, anti-marriage, anti-kid.
Like,
I was that kind of like, I don't want to talk to anyone, I don't care. I just want to work.
I remember that era.
Has that changed?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that with a new bae now?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Ugly laugh.
No, you don't. We scream.
You're so adorable.
Okay. That's
nice.
I was single for 4 years before now. Let's just keep that in.
Yeah.
I was single for 4 years because
This happen? How did the Naseeb? How did the Aleph? How did you meet?
Because people online are referring to him as the Naseeb.
Okay. I'm not gonna lie. You had a Twitter feed about you the other day.
I saw that.
I was like,
Wait, which one?
We'll talk about that after. Tell us about the Naseeb.
So we met through friends.
Yeah. Oh.
So we met through friends. And then the friend was like, okay, I have a friend. Why not just see? So I was like, okay. So then they gave me his contact details and he reached out and I gave him mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? I was telling my best friend, I don't know. I'm really scared. I don't know. I don't want to go. I was this close to not going.
No way.
Close to not going to meet him. I said to God. And then we met. And then even before we met, the conversation was so many similarities. He had worked at somewhere where my company that I was at actually just bought.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm.
Which was like, so we basically work for the same company now, but in two different places.
Yeah.
We lived around the same area. We had similar interests. We both wanted to go to a similar restaurant that just opened. It was just like crazy. So then we did all those things that we wanted to do separately together. And then, it's just... Non-stop.
Just flourishing.
It's just been great.
And the families are aware.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So when's the wedding bells?
That's
always the next
question.
That's
a big question. When's the wedding bells? I want to know.
I feel like that's a bit sticky because the wedding bells is happening.
We have an announcement on the Oversharing podcast.
The wedding bells is happening, but at the same time, I just want to keep it
low key.
But a lot of people feel like, it's not happening. And I'm just like, no, that's trust me. My mom and dad watch me. That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening.
Yeah.
But then I feel like a lot of people want to know every single detail.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, it's good to like hold back and not share every little, until it happens. Just wait.
Girl, you don't need to share nothing.
I feel like a lot of people are like, tell us how you met. Tell us how you know.
Keep them on their toes.
And I get it. But it's like,
it's my
life.
At
the same time, I'm in it as well.
Like, as a consumer, I can see how they feel.
Yeah. Mm.
Wanting to know everything. Yeah. But ultimately, the choice is yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
No,
but
it's difficult.
And it's happening.
Yeah. No, it's definitely happening, guys.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what's really nice about your experience? And I feel like I think it goes into what you talked about the relationship that you have with your parents. Mm. I feel like a lot of us growing up, like if we were ever dating anyone, I would never in my life speak to my mother about anyone that I was dating, which is such a wrong avenue to take, because if you are open with your mom, she can advise you, she can see things, she can like, she can even go do research on the man's family. Like, do you know what I mean? Somali people are connected.
And I feel like you've normalized that a little bit.
And I feel like that's why I'm getting half the hate that I get, because a lot of people are not ready to have that conversation with my mom and dad.
But I think it's surface level hate. I don't think it's hate.
I don't think it's deep.
I don't think it's people that have sat there and religiously watched your videos. I think they've maybe caught onto one or two and blown it out of proportion.
Okay. That's what people generally do.
Yeah.
But then also another thing that scares the living shit out of me. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, of course.
Sorry. It's like, you know, the amount of shares.
Ratio
to the like,
I'm
like, what are you saying?
What are you doing?
And it eats away at me sometimes. But I feel like with my parents and the way my parents raised us was, you tell me. Yes, it's scary. And I feel like when it got to like uni times, my parents saw that I was kind of like anti, don't want to get married, don't want to talk to anyone. They were like, why? Like, what, you're a girl.
Are you
like,
the oldest?
Yes. So it was alarming for them. They were like, what's wrong with her? Why does she just want to work? And da da da. So they didn't see that. So they kind of pushed me. Was it like, you know, like, move on, you know, you're old, getting older, like you're the oldest, and obviously I have all sisters, no brothers,
so you're basically the test dummy.
Exactly. So that's what opened the door. So it was like, okay, this person's talking to me, okay, what's he like, he's like this, okay, what did he do, okay, he's like, and it just became normal.
I just think that is such a healthy way. I'm so sorry. I think, and it also makes it like, if we're thinking about halal dating, because girls, we're not trying to advise you to, you know, sneak around. Don't be having a sneaky link now. But I mean, if we really think about the premise of halal dating, like if you tell your parents, you're more likely to have like a...
It's more of a halal.
It's like a more halalified situation. Like you can add him on WhatsApp and like have your dad in the WhatsApp group, whatever you want to do. Obviously, you might not want to do that. But I'm just saying, if you're trying to keep it halal, we've got to be serious about this. But it's just, I just feel like it opens up that door where people can actually have these conversations. Like,
I also think that's a misconception that people have with you. They probably just think, oh, her parents aren't aware and she's just out here dating, you know, this guy and that guy.
Yeah. My dad comes on my life. He says, hello, Abba. And I'm like, please, please, please.
This is why it's surface level though.
My mum would be like in my videos, or she would look at my content, or she would look at everything. And it's, for me being the oldest daughter, there's no way that my parents wouldn't know, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing social media. There's no way they would know. And then it would be like, why? Not telling us about
this. Mum's on TikTok and that.
Exactly. And my parents, alhamdulillah, they understand English, they can read English, they're on social media, they use it themselves. So it's like, there's no way to hide.
Yeah.
But, so a lot of people don't understand that they know that it's fine, everything is good, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
They don't get it, so they find a way to make it negative.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I'm not going to give a reaction. I'm not going to be like, guys, I've done this and I've done that. And in the beginning, I used to think, you know what, let me just do that. And then I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
You need to.
But yeah.
Let's talk about work.
Go on. Oh,
girl, work drama.
You've had a bit of a whirlwind with work recently, haven't
you? You're watching.
Deuces.
She probably is watching. I know you're watching.
Like, I'm coming up in life, bitch.
Who is the masked demon? Everyone has a work demon.
Honestly, I didn't think I'd ever have a work demon until I went to this place, in that place.
God.
Okay. It was hell.
You're free now.
It was like, I couldn't even stand and go to the bathroom.
But also, like, a watcher. I feel like they were quite bitchy to you there.
Yeah, they were.
Do you feel like it intensified after they found your TikTok?
I think after they found my TikToks, they were probably embarrassed. They could not fathom me walking through the door, knowing what I said, and still paying me, and still, you know, being there.
Which is
what happened. So then, and also I noticed that they knew I did social media, because when I came for my interview, the girl who did my interview said, oh, I know you from somewhere. And I was like,
oh, them ones.
So they were like a secret like fan in the beginning. They were like, oh, we love your videos. Oh my God, I'm gonna. And they just acted like they didn't watch my videos after that.
Oh, they were watching clearly.
They were watching clearly. Yeah. So then it made sense when they were like, oh, someone told us you're really unhappy. They've shared your videos with us. It was like, someone told you. What are you
talking
about?
That is so
rude. And then I asked like the guy who's the CEO of the place, who's the person who told you? He's like, I'm not going to disclose that, basically.
Mm.
Fine, but I know who it was.
Oh!
Yeah, I know exactly who it was.
I know who you are.
I know exactly who it was.
Okay.
It was the demon.
It was the demon child that we shall not name. Okay, guys, so quickly, for our Monday Madness this week.
Okay. So this week's Monday Madness is career advice you wish someone gave you earlier on. So Hannah, honestly, you know, the way that I see you is this corporate lawyer, paralegal-esque, you know, just this girl in the city doing her thing, knows what she wants, you know, and very work orientated. So what sort of advice do you reckon you'd give to the girls out there in terms of just advice that they should have received earlier on?
Don't stay in a job that makes you feel uncomfortable just because you need the experience. Oop. A lot of people do that for law.
Yeah.
Law's a tough thing to get into, and even getting into the bottom barrel roles is hard. Mm. It's a competition. So I feel like for me, I've been really lucky in terms of I've always worked at firms as a contractor, and I've never accepted any permanent jobs. Again.
What's the difference?
So as a contractor, you are there for a specific amount of months.
Okay.
And then once you're done, you're ready to go, you can go. With a permanent role at a big law firm, it'll be seen as, why does she want to leave a perm role? And then when you apply for something else, they'll think you got fired.
Oh, I see. One. Okay.
And also a perm role doesn't give you like the flexibility, like just to leave and da da da. So most of the jobs I've had have started as a contractor 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. I've never done the full year. Never done the full year.
Wow.
Never done the full year because COVID happened, law school happened, and I've had other things happening. Yeah. So it was never like, I need to be in this one place for a year. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. Also, mm-hmm. I still didn't know what kind of law I wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. So did I want to go into a regional firm? Did I want to go to a city firm? Did I want to work in an American law firm? I didn't know. So I then, on my CV now, I have a bunch of different law firms, and it looks like I have all of this experience.
She looks amazing.
When it turns out, I do, but I don't. Contractor role. So I was there for 5 months, there for 4 months, there for 3 months, there for 2 months, stuff like that. Then it's built up a work experience now that I can use to qualify,
amazing.
Which inshallah will happen one day.
Inshallah.
But yeah, so I feel like don't stay in a place that doesn't value you and you feel uncomfortable for too long because you care about the experience.
Should we see what the girlies have said?
Go on.
So, okay. Expect everything and love what you're doing, whatever it is. I think that kind of feeds into mm-hmm. what you were saying. Someone said quit.
No, valid. It worked for me. I'm happy.
I feel like quit when you have something stable and you're secure for a few months at least.
Yeah, if you've got something to move on to. Yeah. You'll have to learn how to live with your job after you learn how to do your job.
No, not really. Okay. I don't agree with that.
Really?
No. Because imagine you do a job for like, okay, if I'm thinking in the mind of a Gen Zer, because I feel like they jump ship quite quickly. Like every year they leave jobs, which is actually really good for them if they're like going up very quickly. But like if I know my, it's like in the career that I work in, if I know my job, after 2 years I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'm ready to, 100%. I'm either going to do something higher, either get promoted, or I'm going to look for something better.
I find the cutoff point is when you've figured out how to fully do your job. And then you're like, okay, well,
I'm kind of bored now.
Yeah, what next?
Mm. 2 years sounds too long for me.
Really?
Like, 2 years sounds like a whole 10 years.
What would be your like ideal sweet
spot? If I was a qualified lawyer working at a law firm that I loved, that somebody else owns, I wouldn't last 2 years.
I love that.
I really like that.
If it's my company,
it's mentality.
If it's my company, then yeah, it's my company.
I love that.
She said, I'm not working for no one.
Startup.
We're going to move on to that.
Go.
Don't give up on your dreams. There's a job written for you.
True. I believe in that. Valid.
Someone said, F uni and don't go into debt.
No. See, this is where the people... And I remember making a YouTube video about this. I don't want to sound like I'm... What's the word? Like being...
Debbie Downer.
No. Like, you know when they say...
You're above someone.
Yes. A lot of people have said this before. You're elitist. No, I'm not. We're first gen, most of us, right?
Yeah.
Some of us, uni is the only way to make it to be something. Mm-hmm. Unless you have the money, you have the funds, and you're comfortable to do other things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people use uni and getting a corporate job as a stepping stone. Then they move away and they do whatever they want. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't like the concept of don't go to uni. Your mom and dad are working. Your parents don't have any savings. They're working jobs that they can't afford. You can't afford food or rent. Don't go to uni. What is that option? If you have the opportunity to go to uni, go to uni. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a full-time job and you have a plan, show that plan, but say that. Mm. This whole spiel of don't go to uni, what's the backup? Give us
options.
It's
like them saying don't go to uni without having a plan, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's become so normal. Don't go to uni. And then a lot of people haven't gone to uni. And then what are you doing now?
But I feel like a lot of people have gone to uni, got into like a serious amount of debt. And it's like, I'm not even in a job now that I kind
enjoy.
I'm not in a job that I enjoy that doesn't relate to my degree, and I feel stuck. And then they blame uni.
Okay, but that's fine. But I don't think uni's the problem.
Yeah.
Even in that scenario, I don't think uni's the problem. I just think it's either the job market, what the skills that people are looking for, because you can always upskill yourself.
Yeah.
You can't.
And pivot.
You won't ever walk into a corporate setting without a degree. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Mm. There's no, unless you get an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And even getting an apprenticeship, you have to be either really smart, well-connected, or really lucky. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? So a bunch of people, especially when I was going to uni, 2016, they're like, don't go to uni, don't go to uni. And it's like, now people are struggling.
I think people, you know? I think people should plan for uni. I think they should plan for like
what they want
to
do.
Yeah, not either, both what they want to do, and also if they're going to take out loans and things, they need to have like a plan set up to pay that back. Mm. I don't think they should see it as like, okay. But
even for my example, it's I'm the first to go to uni because there's five sisters after me, right?
Yeah.
If I ever turned uni, it was no, not going to uni was never going to be an option. Yeah. My parents were like, education, 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 dean education, dean education. Like you walked into the door, my dad would ask us, have you prayed to Salah? Yes. Have you done homework? Yes. Where'd you get detention? I don't know. Why is it tied like that? My dad was very much education.
Yeah.
There was no option of not going to university, like ever. But even if I was to utter the sentence, no, I don't want to go uni, dad, I want to do something else. What is it that you want to do? Show me what you want to do.
Yeah.
What is it? Well, how can I see it? Like he wants the whole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of dangerous sometimes when everyone goes around saying, don't go to uni. You don't need it.
Yeah.
If I accepted that, then I don't know where I would be right now at that age, you know?
I think a lot of people, when they finish A-levels as well, they struggle with that concept. Mm. They're like, should I go to uni or should I give it about a year or two? Do you know what I mean? Gap and I think
year,
that's okay.
Gap year, absolutely. I was refused a gap year because mum didn't understand what it was. Fine. Like, but also, I suffered through GCSE. I suffered through A-levels. She's like, uni, go. Yeah. Like, green light.
But do you know what? I think what young people get really kind of overwhelmed with is how regimented it is. You do like all these years of school, you get to A-levels, you finish them, and then like straight away it's like, oh, I've got to go and do like another 3 years. So I don't know, I think if you are thinking about going to uni, taking time to really like digest and understand like what you're getting yourself into is really important. I wouldn't necessarily say don't, but sometimes I get so irate with like uni.
No, I was the same. At law school, I suffered the most because I didn't understand what it was.
And you're like, why the hell did I do this?
I didn't
this?
Understand how people are living.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
It's a culture shock.
It was, yeah, it was terrifying. And it was also COVID.
Yeah.
So it was like, what am I doing? But again, a plan, one of my siblings wanted to have a gap year. My mom was battling her for like a year.
Yeah.
Like, a gap year is not happening. Just wait till results happen. Right, you think you're having a gap year, it's not happening. And then obviously we tried to like change our perspective and try to make her understand like she's just on her A-level, she's stressed, she's tired. Let her have a rest. Let her get a part-time job. Let her just live her best life for a year. Yeah. She'll secure her uni spot, go the next year. Mom was absolutely not on it. Not on it at all.
No way.
Not on it at all. She's like, gap year, to her almost was like, she's never going to go to uni.
But it's true that there's a fear. Because it's like once you stop education, it's obviously you have to like relearn the language like that. Because it's a whole thing. Like imagine you take a year out, you go to uni, and you're like, oh my god, I haven't written an essay in a whole year. Like, you're just going to struggle.
Yeah. My mom's fear was like she's going to turn around and be like, no, I'm not. I don't want to go to uni. Actually, you know what? I love the comfortable working life.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to uni. And I think that's a lot of parents' fear. But again, have a plan. Try it out, but stick to your word if you say you're gonna go, you know.
I feel like having a plan at 18 though is so hard.
I know, you're full on ADHD. Dumb.
I swear to God, like I remember when I went uni, obviously I went for uni because I'm the only child. My mom was like, it's first generation, you've got to go uni. And I went and I did it and fine. Like I'm happy now, I've got something to, even though I hate my job, but like, I'm happy now that at least I've got something and I've worked my way up to do what I need to do. But in the back of my head, I always think, imagine like I at least had a year out and I actually like had experience in that year to figure out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just, I feel like I personally wasn't given that. And I think people that are 18, I'm not trying to say don't go uni, but I think you should really think, they've got so much more experience now to figure out what they want to do compared to the rest of us. And I just feel like they need to have the time to actually just sit down and be like, what do I want to do with my life?
But the generation now have way more opportunities than
that's
we
what
do.
I'm
they've got
now.
Parents that actually understand the system that can guide them through it. Whereas us, we were like, yeah, I want to do that course because I think I can get the grades for that.
I wasn't even thinking about career, like what is my money going to be like? Are you dumb?
We got degrees, alhamdulillah.
We got there.
We can get jobs.
I've got transferable skills. Yeah. It's okay.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, so this one's a long one. Sometimes it's not about what you know, but who you know. Try to get connections within the field of academia you want to work in already in undergrad. For example, linking up with researchers, your university, and try and meet experts, etc. It makes a world of difference. And doing internships in their labs, etc. Go to these educational events hosted by, and then didn't finish.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's smart.
Right?
Networking.
But also, me back then, a black hijabi, little short girl with her, you know, Muslim hijabi, who's giving me an internship?
Yeah.
With mediocre grades, you know what I'm saying? I think just go volunteer. I think for me, volunteering and stuff like that helped. Go to the council and volunteer or something if you want to get into law.
Love that.
Okay.
And then somebody said, go with your heart and not the money.
Girl.
At some point, you have to think about
it's
the money.
It's cosy lives. I'm so sorry.
At some point, you have to think about the money. But to be fair, I've never actually thought about the money. I only realised how much money a lawyer could possibly make when I was in law school.
Really?
I didn't know what a lawyer was before third year of uni.
I feel like these gaps is what really pisses me off, because a white parent would definitely give all the, their child all this
knowledge
beforehand.
And the way I even stumbled across law was very tragic and sad. It wasn't even like I knew what a lawyer was before that. My mum's brother, got shot in Canada. He was like in a retirement home, and it was like a burglary or something.
Oh my gosh.
And apparently got shot. And then his case has never been solved. So I'm like, what the hell? And obviously, as I was in year six. What's that, 11?
Yeah.
Year six. I'm like, why isn't no one sorting this out?
Yeah. That's
I'm like,
wait, what? He was in a retirement home, so he's an old man.
Yeah, he's an old man. He's 50-something.
And they shot him?
Yeah. They tried to rob him, and they shot him. And it was a robbery, and then they shot him at the end.
Was it just him that died or anyone else?
It was just him that died.
Oh, my God. SubhanAllah.
Yeah. So that was how I came across what kind of job can I get that's going to help somebody to not do that. Not police. I can't do police, no way.
Detective Hannah.
No. So I was thinking, what is that job? So I've always been like in my mind, what is that job? What is that job? How can I stop this from happening to
you
anybody
never watched
else?
Suits.
So it's more
I
about...
I fell into Suits in uni. This is coming.
I was about to say. I was like, girl, what do you mean?
I fell into Suits when I was in uni. And I was like, oh, law. Started watching Suits. Started watching Scandal. Started watching all these different shows. I'm like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's the job. That's the job.
That's what I
by then, in the UK, it's too late. You haven't applied for no vacation scheme. You haven't applied for no internship.
Oh my God. You haven't got
any work experience. Yeah. I'm about to finish my degree doing history.
And they're so competitive.
And it's so competitive. So I'm already a year back. Then it's like, try to get the best grade. COVID happens. Everything got shut down.
Oh my God.
Stuck at home. Am I going to apply for life school? I don't know. Am I going to apply for law school? I don't know.
So what did you
do? Am I even going to get in? I don't know. Let's get through this degree. I applied. I found out my acceptance to law school 2 weeks before I started.
Oh, you must have had a shocker.
Like, if it doesn't happen, it happens. If it happens, it happens. It starts dying.
Oh, it's dying. I would be dying.
Yeah.
So no, it's I like, love that for you.
It's stuff like that. Like nobody, like I didn't know what the job of a lawyer was. I didn't know how big law was. I didn't know what kind of law you could be. Where do you go? So now, 4 years in, I'm like, now I know everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Because lawyers make money, girl.
Lawyers do, yeah. But it depends where you work. It depends where you go, what sector you're in. Yeah.
If you go into oil, it's not great, but you know, they make lots of money in oil.
So you're saying go with the money, not the heart.
No, I feel like go with a job that you like and enjoy, because you're going to have to do it for X amount of time, unless you want to start your own thing. But obviously, the monetary part is smart.
Yeah, you want to be remunerated fairly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you have responsibilities and things like that.
Oh my God, sometimes, guys, I am always cursing the woman that decided to work.
What?
Honestly,
it's the bane of my life.
I hate working. Like, I literally thought about the woman that chose to give us rights to work.
Stop.
What the fuck were you doing?
But no.
No, I'm so sorry.
The job that I just left, that's how I felt.
Yeah, like, what were you doing?
I feel like I'm going to struggle being a mum.
Really?
And like a stay-at-home mum. Because at some point, that's going to happen.
Yeah, true.
And that's where I'm going to struggle.
Why do you think you're going to struggle? I feel like you'll be a very firm mum.
All I know is work. All I know is being at work and going to work and doing things.
Yeah.
That taken away from me. I don't know who I am outside of that.
It's true.
You've got to.
Do you remember during COVID when everyone was like at home on furlough? I almost lost my shit. I'll be honest.
You felt like you were going crazy?
Not that I was going crazy. I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Mm. No, guys, as a working mother, I'm telling you now, okay? I just want to be that mom that goes to the school run, gets a coffee, goes to the gym, comes back, might meet up with the girls for brunch. Yeah.
Goes to a cafe,
reads a book, come back. Like, I'll do that for you.
I said I could probably do that for like a few months.
Like, I'll do that.
You're going to get itchy feet. 100%
No, of course. Of course.
She's going to be like, I need to start a business. Why did I start this business? This is stressing me out.
Do you think you know me?
I'm going to go back to work. Oh, why did I go back to work?
Do you think you know me? I'm just saying. That's the mood I'm in right now. Mm. Why were the suffragettes created?
Oh, for God's sake.
That is the mood I'm in. Can we just talk about how Colton's been? She's been listening to Taylor Swift. And you know, recently, I need to let you guys know what plan I've made.
She's shaming us.
Because I'm joking now. I'm not going to shame you guys, but Allah make me strong. Basically, I've made a pact to not listen to music anymore. And I'm really annoyed.
Mashallah.
But you know, secretly I'm dying because I really want to listen to Taylor's album. So I've been asking Colton, we went on a long walk yesterday. I was like, go on, tell me, Colton, what's the lyrics like? What's the story behind the song? I said, I know high school's about Travis and Taylor.
She was like, which ones are about Matt Healy?
Oh, see, my sister's convinced none of them are about Matt Healy.
I don't think they are. I was like, why would she write
another
an album?
One. Me and her are big Taylor Swift fans. We're dissecting everything.
Do you feel like it's more Joe? Like,
she said everything's more Joe. Everything's Joe and Carly Kloss. The one
woman that snaked her.
Yeah, it's Carly Kloss.
The woman that snaked
her. Because a lot of Lover was Carly Kloss.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know? So people, they're like, we're forgetting this lady.
So what I'm doing now to basically not listen to the
songs. I'm having a crisis now.
Yeah.
What I'm doing now to not listen to the songs we get the tea is I'm watching people's TikToks of their reviews because I don't want to feel left out.
But you know what happens? It's like the album drops, people start making these like assumptions about who this song's about and that. Mm. And then you start thinking, okay, maybe it could be. Like you start...
But
you know,
why would she make... If we just think about Matt Healy, it was like a two-second relationship. Exactly. Why would she make a whole album
I feel like
him?
It was a two-second public relationship, but it was going on for longer. That's what my sister told me. She said it was going on and off for much longer.
Probably. I think Matt Healy was a rebound. I'm so sorry.
He was. I don't think Taylor Swift will be that in love with Matt Healy. He's a problem. He's a question mark walking. No way. Like, no.
It's giving
I don't
urine.
See it.
I'm so sorry.
I don't see it. I feel like her, like...
It's not her aesthetic.
Secret love was Kylie Kloss, whatever that is.
Oh, really?
And the other one, Joe.
Oh, my God, this is news
and
to
I think
me.
I thought it was like a friendship buster.
No, I think they were actually in a relationship and she was so heartbroken.
Dang.
Because she was the damaged. One that she did Redemption about.
Yeah. Maybe. And we're going to get Reputation after
not
this.
Not Redemption, Reputation.
And we're going to get Reputation after this. So it's about Kylie. Everyone's missing it.
No, where are you getting this from, Hannah? I'm so sorry.
I saw one TikTok and it changed my whole perspective.
You think she was in a relationship with Carly?
Yeah, she was in a relationship with Carly Kloss.
So Bad Blood is about Carly?
Yeah.
No, I know that, but I'm saying Bad Blood is about their relationship.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you've blown
this. The whole of Folklore.
No, Folklore is my favourite album on Taylor Swift.
It's about Carly Kloss.
No, it can't be.
Yes, it is. Read the lyrics properly. It's about her.
But I thought Folklore was about those people that she made up, James and Betty.
There's no made up people. It's bullshit. No made up
James
people.
And Betty.
It's right there in her. It's right there, guys. We can see it. It's right there.
Oh my God. Because I was thinking, why is this woman having this big, like, why is she
Carly
doing
Kloss
a whole album
and
about
friendship? And also, Carly Kloss's husband friendship. Was friends with the guy who bought her music.
Yes,
in
yes.
In secret.
Yes.
It was like a I'm betrayal. In love with you and you betrayed me.
Nah, you're making this up, Hannah. What are you talking about?
Put it in TikTok and then tomorrow you're going to agree with me.
No, I remember Scooter Braun.
This is the snippet, by the way.
It is. But I remember Scooter and how he's... Just wait, guys. I remember Scooter. Yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah.
And he was Justin Bieber's manager. Mm-hmm. And he did all that madness to her. And it was also another Universal exec that did that to her. But the relationship, Hannah, where are you coming?
They were in a relationship.
Where is this coming from?
I would never have guessed that they were in a relationship.
I need the deets. What do you remember?
Guys, they were in a relationship. I'm trying to think of what's... There's one song on Folklore that is literally talking about Carly Kloss's house, them having dinner all the time together, her coming over for wine, like, and then she couldn't publicly say she loved her. Like, she couldn't.
She was married.
In Folklore?
Yeah.
Damn.
What do you mean American thingy?
Mine is blown.
Not American thingy. It's another one. I was listening to it this morning and I was singing it in the kitchen while I was making the
tea. What was the song? No, I need to know. I'm livid. Why I haven't. I'm a Swiftie. I should know this. I'm having a crisis.
It's because you wouldn't have guessed it was Karlie Kloss.
No, but I knew about the betrayal because I knew Reputation was about that breakup of friendship. And that's why her and Gigi, I'm actually livid. I'm livid. What was the song, Hannah? You can't leave this building until you tell me the song.
I'm just surprised that Taylor Swank sings that way.
LGBTQ.
Why? Yeah, I just didn't. I would never have thought it. I thought it was a Joe O and Matt Healy themed album.
She's been in love before Joe. Who's Joe?
He's like, come on.
No, but she, no, don't undermine Joe, Hannah.
6 years.
6, 7 years with that man. He denied
her. She said, I lost my youth.
He denied her wedding.
Yeah.
Nikah.
Yeah.
7 years. I'm so sorry. I'd be livid.
But my question is, why did she stay for that long?
She thought she was going to get the ring.
No, but you know, a lot of people of that complexion, they stay
she
for
thought that
long.
She was going to be the might as well get married. Might as well.
It's not the same mentality as Muslim women.
Yeah, she thought it was going to be the long relationship. 6 months. And he says, might as well. We've been together for X amount of time.
After 6 months.
He didn't. It was like a plot twist. Got broken up with.
But he looks very depressed as well. Anyway, so you guys enjoying this album?
I love it.
What's your favourite song so far?
Me? Yeah.
Don't talk about
Down Bad.
Really? Okay, it's good. It's a good bop. But I think mine's the saddest one on the album. It's my favourite song. I always go for the saddest one.
Really?
Yeah, Loss of My Life.
Oh,
can't relate.
It's so damaged. I can't, honestly. I want to experience it full in 3D.
Should I tell you? I'm going to bring it up right now, yeah. I'll tell you what my favourite songs are so far. Obviously, Torture Poets Park. I like Fortnite as well. Mm-hmm. I like Down Bad. Ooh. I like Guilty as Sin. That's a bop.
See, that I thought was about Matt Healy, but it's about Karlie Kloss.
And you know, tonight.
You heard it here first. Oh, share a podcast. It's about Karlie Kloss. I don't give a shit. It's not about Matt Healy. No way. No way.
I don't think it would be about Matt Healy because that's basic.
It's about Karlie Kloss.
And my ultimate favourite song is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Yeah, I like that too.
I like that too.
Okay, moving along. I feel left out. FOMO.
Oh, I thought you were going to go and listen to Taylor Swift there.
I'm not breaking.
I was about to swipe that phone out of your hand.
I don't know what I'm going to do because I have to go to her concert and I don't know how
when
I'm
going
to
handle that.
Is it June?
It's June.
What are we going to do?
I'm going in August.
Oh my God, you're gonna get really good songs.
My mom doesn't even know yet.
I think you're gonna get really good songs. Do you reckon she's gonna play songs from this album at her?
I hope not.
Anyway, let's carry on. Guys, so we've got a dilemma today. The dilemma says, I'm a sister and I'm in dear need. Oh dear, let's go. She goes, Salam girls, I sincerely hope you're both well and in good spirits. She goes, I recently stumbled across a few TikTok clips of this podcast and became hooked instantly. We love that.
Oh, great.
She goes, I have a dilemma that really hurts my heart and my head a lot as I have no one to share it with.
Oh no.
Baby girl. Let's help her. So she goes, here's a short and quick backstory. She goes, I fought tooth and nail for my husband as he's from another race, for my family to accept him, and they eventually accepted by force. He once upon a time made me the happiest girl alive. He's a great person both inside and out and has a heart of gold and generally is a good man. I'm scared for the however. She goes, however, less than a week ago before the wedding, he revealed.
Oh my God.
He revealed.
Wait, what?
He revealed that he did not have any money other than 400, leaving me and my family to cover the costs for everything.
Oh.
She goes, I was really devastated as I felt that I have been tricked after my family and friends already flew in for my wedding. And my mum reminded me it was a test from Allah and that things will get better within the marriage. So she goes, for the next 12 or so months, I've helped him cover his debts, bought him a new car, and even got a full-time job to help him recover fully. A broke man makes me itch.
What lie?
It is not in his innate fitrah to be broke. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
I genuinely feel the finances has strained our relationship like no other. I stopped seeing him as a man, a leader, and she goes, my sexual desire towards him has even changed. He even took me away from my birthday. And on the fourth day, he cried and told me that he was sorry, but I needed to cover the rest as he ran out of money.
But why take her out?
What the hell?
Why take her out? Why take her out?
Why go as far as to say we're getting married?
But why take her out? Why take me out on my birthday if you're going to, at the end of the night, say to me, you're going to pay for my bill?
Did she pay for it?
She goes,
did she pay for it?
They're going to get arrested.
Don't tell me she paid for the bill.
She goes, I check his, I think she paid for it. Because how are they going to duck and leave, Colton?
No, but maybe he paid for it.
You know what makes me that gives me the ick if a man says to me, can I use your card and act like I paid for it?
Yeah.
She goes, I check his banking apps and he genuinely has no money or savings.
She paid for it.
So he isn't lying about not having it. I'm just done with being okay with that. I have always told him I like a man to be a provider and lead, and I'm genuinely happy to be a traditional wife. I like this girl. Mm. I like her.
I think she went in with the best intentions.
She goes, I feared going back to my mother's house after everyone in my family told me not to marry him for other reasons. And when I did discuss this with my mum, she told me that this was a me problem. And when I told his parents his financial issues, they tell me I need to help him more and do more. Can you imagine? I genuinely wholeheartedly know within myself I stopped loving him 100%. 3 months into our marriage, I stopped trying to please him, pleasure him, and even cook for him. I always enjoy doing, and now I spend most of my days and nights crying in a whole new city where I have no one to vent to, as I honestly do feel so unhappy with him. He's paid me back all the debts except for the meher, and mind you, it's nearly 3 years now. Okay. However, I still do all the house shop. I fill up his petrol. I can't.
Are they, wait, he still has no job, 3 years.
I don't know.
No money.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Wait, sugar. He's paid her back.
You can be angry.
Let me finish. Oh, let me finish. Hold. What's that TikTok that goes?
They got married.
Got to wait. They got married. And just before they had the nikah, my man says, I've only got £400 in my account.
Right, yeah.
Okay. They carried on. She said she's been married for nearly 12 months now and she's covered his debts. She's bought him a new car. She's even had to, bless her soul, get a new job and work 37.5 hours more a week, a full-time job extra on top. Mm-hmm. She's working two jobs to support him. So now moving forward, while on her birthday, he said to her, I'm going to take you out on your birthday, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the meal, he's basically said, I'm really sorry, I don't have this. Can you get it for me? Okay? And then now she's saying she just has no desire to please him. She's very upset. She's very unhappy. She's living on her own in a city. She's got no one to vent with.
She's in a role that's unnatural to her. Of course she's going to be frustrated. She's the man.
So let me finish. She goes, however, I still do all the house shop. I fill up his petrol and much more else, as his paycheck goes straight away after paying the rent bills and the car insurance. But he's an honest soul and overall a good man. What do I do? I'm genuinely at an age where I want to have children. We're both 27 of age. And I fear that he's wasting my youthful years with his financial burdens.
Word to Taylor.
I refuse to have... No, not word to Taylor. She can't she can't be waiting 7 years, Colton. She goes,
Taylor said, wasted her youth.
Sorry, I don't listen to music no more.
So, yeah.
You know... I can brag about that now. I'm joking. She goes, I refuse to have children where I'm the sole financial support. Any advice would sincerely be appreciated.
Get out of the whole situation. Leave it. You came in. He was broke. You stayed. It's 3 years. He's broke. Get out. He's not going to change. He's comfortable now. 3 years and he's too comfortable.
See, that is what I really want to say.
But we're changed women now. We are changed women.
I feel like there's delusional and hoping for the best. And there's delusional and seeing nothing's going to change. Okay. Like you would have to be honest.
There's two things that he needs to do for me in order for me to completely leave. Okay. Hannah's loyal mode.
Yeah, no.
We need to break down Hannah
problem.
Emotionally.
That's why I was single for 4 years. That was my problem, is seeing it one way and then never looking back.
Yeah.
Need to make and my parents have to like...
No compromise.
Yeah, I don't believe in that one.
It's okay.
Don't believe in that one.
It's okay. Hannah's rigid. We've got to break her up a little bit.
It's the
Gen Z in her. She's very straightforward. Colton, we're new women now. How are we going to answer this scenario?
So how long has she been married for? Just quickly remind me.
Right, let's go over the facts.
Did she say 3 years or 12 months? Right now we're on 3 years.
So now she's on, overall, she's married for 3 years.
So she's been with this man for 3 years. Has he been making, you know, any strides?
That's what I don't know.
In the employment department?
So he's paid her back for some of the debts.
So we can see active reimbursement. Right.
Hannah's dying.
I know.
She's see like, her eyes.
She's not a bank. She doesn't need reimbursement. She needs investment. Get out and get a job.
Okay, you know what?
Or find someone who's going to do that.
Okay.
Because her issue is she's not attracted to him anymore. She doesn't like him anymore. She can't stand him anymore.
That's
he's very paid for her food. That's not going to change because he gets a job. It's his attitude and behavior.
He can't pay for the food.
I have to be honest. you want children, he's going to turn around and say, I can't afford it. What are you going
to
do?
We always get accused of like jumping to divorce.
No, don't jump for divorce, but like,
why are you always telling people to divorce?
Listen,
why are you
breaking families down? Pause. That's what they say to us. But listen, we're a changed woman. What I'm saying to you is, does this man have transferable skills? Have you helped him with his CV? Not that, that would give me the ick even more if I had to help a man with his CV, I'm just saying. But have you helped him with his CV? Can he find a job? Is it a confidence issue? What is the issue that you've got all these mad debts? Are you doing istighfar? Is this man doing istighfar?
Is he doing istighfar? Because if he was doing istighfar, the money abundance would rain down.
Do you know what I mean? If he was praying his five daily prayers and he goes to the masjid, there would be abundance.
Blessings upon blessings.
Is this man doing sin that we don't know?
What is this man doing? I don't understand what the debts is.
Are they credit card debts? Is he gambling?
Yeah, what are the debts?
God forbid.
She just said, I check his banking apps and he's just broke. And I don't mean to laugh, man. Allah never make us
job.
Broke.
The issue is the man. Get rid of the man. I'm so sorry, but
she's tried.
Yeah, you've done everything.
Well,
that's
not 3 years.
You know what?
3 years.
Do you
know what I think is motivating her to stay is the fact that she wants to build a family, but she can't look at this man.
You cannot build a family.
She can't look at this man.
I think she wants to stay because she wants to prove it, her family wrong.
Exactly.
Because they said no in the beginning. Yeah. But like sometimes your family are right, you have to take the L.
And you know, she's 27 years old. It's like life. She's still got time.
Yeah. Let's create a life for her. If she leaves this man, this is what I see.
She has no kids, right?
She's got no kids. You're free.
Leave.
Literally,
leave right now. Nothing's changing. Leave. I'm so sorry, but leave right now, please. If this is you and you're watching here, if you have a similar scenario, okay, go speak to family, whatever. Leave. Nothing's gonna change. It's the attitude of the person.
Why? But it's been 3 years. I'm so sorry, but I agree. Well, like, if you've got children, you're trapped for life.
Exactly.
18 years.
Imagine being trapped. You know what it is? And the thing is, if she has kids with him, she's gonna look back and think, I should have left beforehand.
Yeah, and you're gonna suffer. You're gonna be in this provider mode.
She's gonna be paying for the baby and paying for the man.
Well, why? She's gonna be in her masculine energy, trying to think up 10 different businesses. What do I do? How can I provide my children? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just not healthy.
And say it does come to a point where she wants to leave, it's gonna be harder for her to find a man who's gonna accept her kid and her, or her kids and her.
100%.
I'm just saying, honestly, I think deep down she knows what she needs to do. I think you need to just make a lot of dua that Allah makes it easier for you, because I think you already know.
I think she's made istikhara. She's already made a decision. I know in my heart that I can feel her. I'm an empath right now. I know.
Are you Phoebe?
I'm Phoebe from Charmed. I know she wants to leave, but she needs that push. She needs a push, but also, like, honestly, hold on. You know me, I don't want to be responsible for.
Because you know the shaitan,
you know,
guy.
I get it, but I feel like you have to also be honest. If you see me in a hole, like a shit hole, and you're watching me, like you're like, Hannah, you know, okay, have you done that? We've done everything. You're still watching me in the hole. Take me out the hole.
Yes.
You know?
And stick to the facts, Olivia Pope.
Exactly.
Right, okay, what are the facts? 3 years of brokenness.
Yeah. He came into the marriage broke.
He's going to leave broke. Wallahi, he didn't pay for her birthday. Exactly. Who does that?
Exactly.
Now you've got my Nia Le voice. This is too much.
And on top of that, we haven't seen any kind of like, there's been no agency. He hasn't taken the time to sit down and apply and do employment things.
Exactly. And why can she get a job? He can't get a job.
And why is she working two jobs?
Wallah, She's working two jobs. That is so sad.
He's comfortable. He came in broke. He was like, okay, you know, she accepted it.
Yeah, let me do it.
No, 3 years.
Guys,
that's
wallahi.
Exactly how think. I'm going to get so cancelled. That's how men think.
No, it's true. Honest.
I saw this tweet today, and it said, never tell a man that you live alone, because automatically alarm bells start ringing. He knows you are an independent woman. You work, you have money, you're able to pay your rent, and he's looking for an opportunity to come in and put his feet up.
Can I just take this from an Islamic perspective as well? He is not meeting her needs at all. And legally, if we think about divorce Islamically, if your man is not meeting your needs and you've tried, that is the legal way to get divorced. I'm so sorry. He's not providing for you. He's putting you under immense stress.
So the rights are clothes.
Everything.
Provision. Food.
Bills. Everything.
Home.
Shopping. Food. Everything.
But okay.
He's not doing all of those.
As a non-married woman, when people do get married from the UK, London, Somali community in particular, is that being done or not?
Is what being done?
I don't know anyone who's married. I'd have friends who are married.
Yeah.
As in
Girls are out here living soft lives.
Tell us
the tea. We don't
there are good men.
There really are.
There's good men that fly their women to Muslim countries and get them maids.
Okay.
And pray for private education.
Okay.
That give them like 4-bedroom apartments. Okay. Take them on holiday.
Take them on holiday.
Buy them Birkin bags. Okay.
This
uncle Dahab also even the moment she gives birth, he's 30 kilo
he's
of Dahab.
He's 30 kilo of Dahab. Wallahi, I've seen it.
What is Dahab? Gold. Yes.
Oh
and,
my God.
And on top of that, there's like, there's even dynamics where there's kids involved and he's still able to maintain the same nice things that he's doing for his wife.
Do you know what I mean? There's people that
people are Somali?
Yes. Wow, there is men that I know who are Somali who work full time and on the weekends he takes their children out. He's like, babe, go enjoy yourself, relax. Oh, wow. Here's a bit of money.
Go to the spa.
Good men exist.
See, this I can deal with. This I can get along.
But you know what?
This I can get along.
But you know what? These sisters don't talk too much.
Okay.
Because yeah. they know yeah. they don't want the ain on them.
Yeah.
They don't want the evil eye.
Okay.
They don't talk too much.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if a woman's not talking too much and she looks good,
she don't have no eye bags.
And also this country, I feel like this country is suffering. Mm. It suffocates you mentally, I feel like. And if you wanna like have a family and like children, I just don't think London is the way.
Really?
Mm. It's not family friendly.
I don't think like
it's very individualistic friendly.
Cozy lives is just not gonna be helpful to raise a family, I'll be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, and if we're thinking from perspective of Muslim women, like I don't know about you guys, but like me, I'm trying to move to a Muslim country.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
Like, it's really wrong that we don't hear the adhan. I think there's something wrong with that.
It feels, very unnatural.
It's very unnatural.
Really?
Don't you think that we don't hear the adhan?
I was not expecting that.
I'm so sorry.
It just doesn't feel like I'm in a wholesome environment.
No.
I feel in danger.
I feel like we're surrounded by people that tawheed, and I feel like adhan tawheed is going to happen to us.
That
we're all going to get punished because of these people that don't have tawheed. Sorry, I know I'm born
We're the
again.
First to go. Gog and Magog is coming for us.
Why? I can't do this.
Coming for the West.
Anyway, guys, that is the end of our episode. Hannah, do you have anything to promote? You know, you got YouTube.
The startup.
YouTube. Oh my God, you even talk about your startup.
It's okay.
Do you want to talk about the startup?
Talk about it. Yeah. Business girly.
So you recently left your job. Obviously, yeah. I love your TikToks and I saw that you have your plans to start a startup. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of
stuff. And to do it full time.
To do it full time.
Right now, I do it full time.
Oh, so it started. The startup has started.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm just like in the beginning and I've had a few meetings.
Oh, lovely.
I've put it in front of a few people, just seeing what people think that have more experience mm-hmm. than me.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult being someone who doesn't know anything about this world and then coming in. But I will say it's going to change. If it works and the way I envision it, it's going to change our lives. It's going to genuinely change our individual lives, because I feel like across the board, everyone in this room will probably use it.
I love that.
Hannah, can I just say, you are probably one of the most delusional people
I've ever
met in my life. I think your delusion is going to change the world.
Honestly, you have to be.
I think you're going to be a very successful, rich, woman.
I see it.
May Allah bless you.
I mean,
and may Allah stop any ayn and evil people and all the horrible things that they say on the comments. May they never affect you.
Amen.
Hannah, please promote your YouTube and everything. And please come back. We loved it. This has been so much fun.
Now.
You can find me on TikTok, Hannah Saeed. You can find me on IG, Hannah Saeed. I struggle with IG a bit. YouTube, it's a long lost sister. We're like friends. We're not friends, but it's Hannah Saeed as well. But yeah.
Thank you so much, Hannah. We love you.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.